going in different directions.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 25-year-old Joseph Alston is suing his former live-in girlfriend, Sharonda Johnson, for disposing of his clothes and belongings. Sharonda is countersuing for lost wages.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, it's case number 309 on the calendar, the matter of Alston versus Johnson. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat. You're welcome.
Mr. Alston, you and Miss Johnson were boyfriend and girlfriend for a while. And while you didn't live together, you stayed at her house frequently.
Yes, ma'am.
And you had some property there, your clothes, some electrical equipment, other stuff. You and Miss Johnson had an argument, and you left.
Right.
Do you remember what day that was that you left?
Yes, ma'am. That was October 12th.
So far, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you left, you went to your parents' house, to your mother's house?
No, I actually went to my aunt's house. I told her basically I needed some time, you know, I needed some space to calm down. That night, she was acting a little bit irate, grabbing onto me, holding me, telling her to let me go, all right? She didn't want to let me go. I told her, listen, I really don't want an issue. I need some time. Just stand back, stand away, give me some time, let me go. Holding me, holding the door, grabbing the door, and...
You left?
Yes, ma'am.
That's really not what the case is about.
Right.
Case is about this. You claim that Miss Johnson put your stuff out in the hall and that much of it was missing
when
you finally got there to pick it up. And that's what you're suing for.
Yes.
Miss Johnson has some nonsense counterclaim that I'm going to give her about 10 seconds to tell me about at some point later on in this case. But she's going to explain to me, and you're going to go over some dates with me.
Yes, ma'am.
You left on October the 12th. When was the next time you returned to the apartment where Miss Johnson lived?
Which was the following day, October 13th.
And can you tell me why you went over there on the 13th?
That night I left originally, I told you I needed to leave. Basically, I needed some space and that I would be back in the morning. I'll see you in the morning. Don't worry about it. We can talk about this in the morning. No, you're trying to leave me. That's why you want to leave? Stop. Telling me, I'm trying to... Yes, ma'am. No problem. Okay.
Find your center. What do you do for a living?
I'm a restaurant manager.
Okay. Is it a busy restaurant?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Now I got it. You said you'd be back in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you call her in the morning?
Yes, I did.
And what happened when you spoke to her in the morning?
When I spoke...
Put your hand...
That's a lie. Yeah. That's a lie.
Listen, Miss Johnson, you're the defendant. You're going to have an opportunity to explain your side of the story.
Yes, ma'am.
When I give it to you.
Okay.
Not before.
All right.
You don't want to lose before you open your mouth, do you?
No, I don't.
Don't interrupt him again.
Okay.
Good. On the 12th you left, you said, I'll be back in the morning.
Right, to receive
Then
myself.
You spoke to her on the 13th. Did you call her or did she call you?
I called her.
And you tell me what you said to her and what she said to you.
When I called her, the reason I called her is because when I went over there, I had the keys. When I got there, the locks, I couldn't get in. So I called her, I said, listen, why is the door locked? You know, I was coming over to get my stuff. She went off on the phone. Oh, you trying to leave me? Why are you trying to leave me? That's why the door is locked. I said, you know, I have to go to work. You prevent me from going to work. I really need to go and get my stuff. And then she kind of calmed down and, oh, well, I'm going to come right now to open the door for you. I said, aren't you at work? How are you going to come right now? You should have not locked the door originally. She tells me, oh, no, well, I'm going to come and open the door right now. Okay, no problem. So I'm waiting. Basically in the area, it's a shopping area over there, walking around. It's an hour into it. Now I called her again. Listen, you told me you were gonna come right now. Oh no, I have a meeting. I'm not gonna come right now. You'll get your stuff when I'm ready for you to. So at this point, I was a little bit uneasy and I was thrown off by the whole thing. And I'm like, what do you-
Just tell me what you did and what you said. I don't care
what I did.
Actually,
basically,
what you felt.
Basically what I did is I spoke to her. She basically
She said,
hung up
I'm
and
not
I left.
Coming back now.
I left the area.
Okay.
Went to my cousin's house.
That was on the 13th?
Yes.
Did you go back to the apartment again on the 13th?
Yes, I did, with the police.
And what happened when you went back? And why did you go back with the police?
I got a phone call. At the time, I actually didn't know who the phone call was from. I later found out that it was one of her friends. And it said, if you don't come and get your stuff, the neighbors will get it. I was like, excuse me?
Was that on the 13th?
That was on the 13th, yes.
Who was this person who called him?
My friend Brianna.
Stand up. Give me your last name.
Bradley.
What prompted you to call Mr. Alston?
To let him know that he needed to get his stuff.
Well, how did you know that he needed to get his stuff?
Because I have been dealing with this for a while with between Ms. Shronda Johnson and Ms.
Johnson. Listen to me. On the 13th of October, 2009.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to know why you called him to tell him to get his stuff.
Because they had a fight, and she wanted him to leave, and he did not live there. He was not on the lease.
Listen to me. I'm not asking you to go into a whole litany of past history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, did Ms. Johnson tell you to call him and that she had put his stuff out in the hall?
Ms. Johnson called me and told me that she no longer wanted him there.
Fine. And what did Ms. Johnson tell you that she was going to do with his stuff?
Ms. Johnson didn't say anything. I told Ms. Johnson she needed to put his belongings in the hallway before it turned into an altercation.
So you're the troublemaker. Sit down.
Yes, ma'am.
Sit down.
Ridiculous.
Now, when Ms. Bradley, Ms. Johnson, told you to put his stuff out in the hallway, did you listen to her?
Actually, I didn't put his things in the hallway. I actually called her to tell him because I didn't want anything to do with him.
Okay.
No problem.
I called her.
Go like this to me. I'm easily distracted.
I called her to tell him to look, you were supposed to come by this agreement.
Listen to me. Did you put his stuff out in the hallway?
Yes, I did.
When you arrived there with the police, what did you find?
When I got in front of the building, the police was there. They actually met me in front of the building. And they asked me what was the situation. They said, well, why do we need to be here?
Don't tell me.
Oh, basically, we got on the
No, just tell me. I asked you a question. I didn't ask you what the police said to you.
Okay.
I said, what did you find when you got there with the police?
When I got there with the police, I found basically all her neighbors in the hallway with shopping carts going in different directions. This is what I saw when I got there.
Put your hand down. What property of yours was missing?
Basically, the only thing that was actually there was a couple of T-shirts and some paperwork. I was missing basically a lot of things. The reason why my stuff was in a house... Okay, this is what was missing.
I have things to do today,
including
eating lunch.
No problem. I'm gonna tell you what was missing.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You listen to this idiot who told you to put his things out in the hall. You got the wrong advice. You should have called 1-800-LAWYER.
And later today...
I'd report him to the police. I'd get his tow truck license revoked because he forged your name on this.
I'm going through that now.
I would do it because I don't like when people lie to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joseph Alston claims ex-girlfriend Shronda Johnson disposed of his belongings after they broke up.
Go ahead.
I was missing a briefcase that had all my personal paperwork in it.
Okay, briefcase with...
With...
Slow down.
Okay.
It's not Saturday night at 8 o'clock in your restaurant.
All right.
You're missing a briefcase with paperwork.
Right.
Next.
Also, a DVD player. I also had a...
Shh. I don't write as fast as that.
Okay.
DVD player.
Also had a basically some clothes, some suits.
How many suits did you have?
Totally maybe a 4 or 5, including 14 pair of jeans, some shirts, some button-up shirts.
What did you find in the hall?
When I got there, I saw basically scrambled papers all over the floor and a couple of T-shirts and maybe some socks.
No briefcase?
No briefcase.
Any suits?
No suits.
Any jeans?
No.
Any DVD player?
No, ma'am.
There were no other electronics in the house?
Also a PlayStation PSP, a portable
That's
device.
He had that.
PlayStation
He's
PSP,
lying.
Portable
Shh.
Device.
He's lying.
Your counterclaim's dismissed. How's that? That's the consequence. It was nonsense anyway. You can't do what you did, Ms. Johnson. You have no right to put his things out in the hall.
May I tell you why I did it?
I don't care why. He was in your home as an invited guest for a period of time. You allowed him to put his property in your home. You have the responsibility to reasonably safeguard that property until he gets it out.
And he had the ability to pay the rent like he was supposed to, and he didn't do that.
Listen,
he was saying that I wouldn't let a grown man in my house, and I have a child, and I'm going through financial hardships.
Okay.
And
Ms. Johnson,
he wasn't contributing to my house.
Ms.
I wouldn't invite him in my house if he wasn't contributing.
Are you trying to talk over me?
He wasn't contributing to my house.
Let me explain to you. You have no legal right to put his things out in the hall when he had been an invited guest in your home. You listened to this idiot who told you to put his things out in the hall. You got the wrong advice. You should have called 1-800-LAWYER. Mm-hmm. The lawyer would have said you have a responsibility to safeguard that property and give him a reasonable period of time to
and
come
I
and
did.
Get it.
I gave him
and you
minutes.
Did not.
And
judgment
I did.
For the plaintiff in the amount of $4,000. That's
yes.
all. Step out.
You want to attain it anyway.
Actually, I'm really great. I'm glad she decided what she did because everything she said was a complete lie.
Why'd I do that? Because he was a grown behind man that wasn't paying for what he was supposed to pay for.
She's sitting there saying that I was paying all her bills for 4 months.
He broke up with me.
She was broke. I tried to help her and her son.
He made it seem like he was gonna come and get his things and he didn't.
She's the one living. I'm paying her $250 rent, which is nothing to me.
So I threw his out. That's what I did.
That's club money.
I'll just move on. That's it.
Basically, she was a waste of my time.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of McGee versus Herndon. Step forward, please.
Tiffany McGee is suing her ex-boyfriend, Karande Herndon, for the unpaid balance on a 2002 Chevy Blazer she sold to him.
Miss McGee, this charming young man used to be your boyfriend.
Yes.
And you did what I've told people not to do, which is you don't sell a used car to anybody that you really know. Boyfriend, cousin, sister, brother, it's always a bad idea, especially with regard to a boyfriend. You allow your heart to interfere with your brain, right?
Yes.
So you sold him a car, and you say you sold it to him for?
I sold it to him for $5,200.
And you had purchased the car only recently, and how much did you pay for the car when you purchased it?
I paid $6,000.
How much before you sold it to him did you purchase it?
I purchased the car for $6,000.
When?
In January of 2008.
And when did you sell it to him?
I sold the car to him in August of 2008.
August of 08?
Yes.
And he paid you some?
He paid me $1,000 down.
And what was your agreement?
The agreement was that he paid me at the beginning of next year, well, this year, actually, when his income tax return came.
So he was supposed to pay you back in January of 09?
Yes.
And between that time, you broke up?
Yes, our relationship had dissolved, but we still kept in contact with each other, but it wasn't consistent.
Go ahead.
I end up getting in contact with him in March.
March of 09?
Yes. He informed me that child support had took his whole income tax check. So I still was being compromising, and I told him to give me $250 a month. That was the agreement. We made a verbal agreement, and he agreed with it. I never heard nothing from Mr. Herndon then. April the 28th was my birthday. I was waiting for that money because in May I had a trip I was going on. I ended up calling his phone on my own and number was changed.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
What did you do, forge her name as the lien holder?
No, I didn't forge her
name. Oh, sure, you had to. You had to. She's listed as the lien holder on this car. How could you sell it without her signature?
The guy accepted the title as is.
Pre-sales event.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Tiffany McGee says ex-boyfriend Karande Herndon owes for the balance on a Chevy Blazer she sold to him.
Okay, ball is in your court.
Well, she offered me she was tired of picking me up. So she would pick me up. She had two cars. She had a Dodge Stratus and she had the Trailblazer, but she couldn't get any plates for it because she had a whole lot of tickets and she had recently been arrested for the tickets. So I asked her if she was willing to sell the car. She said she would sell the car for $5,200. I thought that was too much. I offered her $1,000.
Wanted $5,200. Just mm-hmm. a sec. She wanted $5,200.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what the blue book value of the car was at the time she sold it to you?
I do.
Yes, it was about $4,200 because I was able to sell the car. I sold the car for.
Listen to my question.
I'm listening.
I said, what was the blue book value of the car when you bought it from her?
I don't know exactly.
Why don't we look that up, Bird?
Sure.
What year car is it?
It's a 2002 Trailblazer. It was in perfect condition.
I actually purchased a car from my grandfather. He has his dealership license, and he go to auctions, he buy cars. He has a body shop that he takes it to, and anything that's wrong with it, he fixes it.
2002 Trailblazer.
$6,000.
Well, so the value of the car, according to this, is about $6,000. And she was offering it to you for $5,200.
Correct.
And what you want me to believe is she agreed to take in full satisfaction of the purchase price $1,000. That's what you want. Don't look over there. Look over here.
Well, she...
That's what... Just a second. You want me to believe... Look at this face. That she loved you so much, she was going to give you a $5,000 present.
Yes.
You think so? No. She said, I want $5,200 for it. I paid $6,000. It was a good deal. My uncle gets it through auction. I have a body shop, whatever. And it's in perfect condition.
Your Honor,
I'm talking to him. You're interfering with me. She said she wanted $5,200. You countered with $1,000 and she accepted it. Is that what you want me to believe?
Yes.
I don't.
She accepted $1,000.
She accepted $1,000.
And it was like
I'm speaking. She accepted $1,000 with your assurance that you would pay her the rest at the beginning of this year. That's when she started to call you.
No, she didn't start to call me until she found out that I had another child. So everything was cool until she found out that I had another girlfriend and she was pregnant. And once the baby was born, got the DNA test, and she was bringing up the issues of the
money.
How
many do you have?
I have four.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
What do you do for a living?
I own a tow truck company, executive maintenance.
You own a tow truck company, so you know all about cars, and you think that she gave you a $5,000 present. And then you have, then, if I'm reading what you said to me correctly, you said you sold the car for $4,200?
Yes.
You can't do that. Had she given you the title to the car?
Yes.
Had you signed it over to him?
Yes, I signed it over to him because of my ticket situation. I couldn't get the...
I don't care why. Just tell me if you did.
I did, but I was the lien holder on it.
Oh, let me see. Interesting. What did you do, forge her name as the lien holder?
No, I didn't forge her
name. Oh, sure, you had to. You had to. She's listed as the lien holder on this car. How could you sell it without her signature?
The guy accepted the title as is.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Learn more.
Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
You're in the tow truck business. You think that I don't know what goes on with people who are in the tow truck business?
Your Honor. No.
That you at least know what's going on,
Your
Mr.
Honor.
Hurton.
I'm sorry. I went back down to the Secretary of State. I ended up having to get a copy because they took the original copy because he had turned it over in somebody else's name. So my signature had to be four. And there's nothing I can do about the situation at the time.
Oh, well, let me ask you a question. Do you have family?
Yes.
Do you have kids?
Yes.
How many kids do you have?
I have three kids.
How old are they?
12, 10, and 8.
How do you support them?
I work.
For whom?
La Quinta Inn, Front Desk Reservations.
You've been working for them for a while?
Yes.
You support them?
Yes.
She's not making you a present of $4,000. I would, I'm going to give you your money, but I'd report him to the police. I'd get his tow truck license revoked because he forged your name on this. They must have a copy of it,
yes.
Right?
We're going through it. I'm going through that now.
I would do it because I don't like when people lie to me.
I didn't forge your name.
Well, maybe not. The authorities will investigate that, sir. And if they find that you didn't, you may write me a letter and I might respond with an apology. I doubt it. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $4,200. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. Some get clever.
That's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
Thank think it was wrong for them to accuse that I forged the signature? I didn't.
I had no contact of them. I couldn't find them anywhere.
The title was in my company's name. I was able to sell the car.
Or anything to get my money back at that. And when I got in contact with them,
the buyer accepted the title as is.
It was like, it is what it is.
Not until she found out that I had a child.
That wasn't the case.
And that's when she started bringing up fuss about the money.
That wasn't the case. He has other kids.
Up until then, everything was fine.
I didn't really care too much about the kids. That has nothing to do with me.
Not to accept things from women unless I have a written contract.
Never give anybody anything without the full amount of whatever you're selling it for.